You know, I had a thought come to me the other day because sometimes, you know, when the Lord convicts us of something that we know he doesn't approve of and that's not right, and maybe he's trying to redirect us or change our perspective or our minds about something, and we are obedient to that, and we can say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. If you want me to stop this thing that I'm doing, I'm willing to do that. And we're going to have a repentant attitude towards that, whatever it might be, a besetting sin, you know. But one of the things we also have to remember is that it's equally important that we are also positively responding to the direction of the Lord in the ministry that he's assigning to us, amen, and to his will for our lives. So it's not enough just to stop doing things that were wrong. See, some people get proud of the fact that they've stopped doing things that they used to do. You know what I'm saying? And we have to understand that it's by the grace of God that we're anything. It's by the mercy of God that we're saved. It's not because we're so spiritual or so righteous, but because God is merciful and gracious, and we cried out to him in our desperation and say, Lord, help me. And God gave us the ability, the strength to overcome that thing and be free from that thing. But now God also calls us to partner with him in doing what he's calling us to do. And one of the first and most basic things that we should be doing is giving God audible praise from our lips. Amen. Offering unto God the fruit of our lips. That in offering our body back to him, basically, as an act of worship. And saying, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I now give myself back to you to be your minister. To be your ambassador, your representative here in the earth. Do you understand? It's not about just stopping all the bad stuff. It's about doing the right things. If we would focus on doing the right things, we wouldn't even think about doing the bad stuff. Amen? We got to partner with Jesus. So that was just the thought I had, and there it was. So that was for somebody here today. And probably for me too. How about that? You know, a lot of times I'm up here preaching, I'm preaching to myself too. So don't think that I'm just a holier than thou, and I'm telling you all you unrighteous sinners how to get right with God. But, you know, God has called us into freedom, and he set us free by the power of the blood of the Lamb. And we're no longer slaves to sin, but sons and daughters of God through the new birth. Amen. And we have to discover and understand who we are in this new creation and what's made available to us freely by the grace of God, because the life, the Christian life, is impossible apart from him. It's not about just doing some commandments. Amen. The commandments are written on your heart by the Spirit when you're born again. Amen. And we simply cooperate with the Lord in this process, and we walk together with him in new life. And we will be an expression of God's heart. That's what we call fruit, bearing fruit. Because it's not the fruit of me that people need. It's the fruit of God. Amen. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not the love of Keith, but the love of Jesus through Keith. So we pray for that. Lord, make me fruitful. Cut out all those things in my life that are non-productive. Chop off all those sucker branches in me. Amen. Because I want to bear fruit. And I want to get over me before I can serve you effectively. So I want to do a teaching this morning. I'm going to try to move quickly through this because there's a lot I want to cover. And I want you to take some notes today, because these are some things that I think are very important for us to focus on this coming year as a church. My heart as a pastor is to make sure that we are doing what God is calling us to do. Okay, we don't want to pattern our church after the Joneses' church, all right, down the road here. We don't want to try to compare ourselves to anybody else, and we certainly don't want to compete with God's people, amen? We are all part of something bigger than ourselves. We're just one part of what God is doing, amen? But what we do want, and what I really pray for, is God, show me, reveal to me where, you know, we're at and where we need to be, so that I will know how to minister. Amen. How I can present the right word, a timely word, a word that's in season. Amen. And not just any old thing, but what God is speaking to us. And we have to have ears to hear. And I'm calling every one of us to not only hear today, but to apply it, to get a hold of it and say, this is what I'm going to do, because this is what God has said through his word. And, you know, we don't have to guess about what we're doing. God has already given us His word, hasn't He? So we can know how we should then live, how we should walk. And so we get this periodical. I don't even look at it. It goes on the junk pile. How many are here are getting a lot of junk mail these days? Amen. I think we're keeping, I don't know if it's Mason County landfill, but we're keeping the landfill filled, aren't we? With all the stuff that we get through the mail. Well, one of the things is this title on there. It says, My Healthy Church. You know, maybe I should look at it, but I don't get so much stuff. I just kind of sort out what I'm going to look at, you know, and the rest of it just goes in the scrap pile. But that kind of triggers something, My Healthy Church. And the question is this. When you look at Jesus speaking to the seven churches in Revelation, okay, we can see a pattern there, you know, of good and bad behavior, of what God approves of and what He disapproves of. And if we could learn from those, you know, examples there, then we will know what pleases the Lord as a fellowship, as a local body or a local assembly of believers. We understand that, and the church is not the building, amen? The church is you and I. We are the building of God. We meet in a building. But we are New Horizons. We are this church, amen? This is a family, a church family as we call it. So the question is this, what does a healthy church look like? So I'm going to give you some points here today. First of all, let me ask you, is it all about large numbers? Is it about healthy finances? How about nice music? Nice buildings? Comfortable chairs? Good programs? Oh, those are all nice things. They're not bad things, are they? But they're not necessarily what we need to be focusing on, all right? What we need to understand is, what does God say about a healthy church? What is a healthy church in God's eyes? Amen. That's who we want to be. We want to all be individually healthy. And if we're individually healthy, then together, corporately, we become healthy. Do you understand? You can't rely upon somebody else's salvation, somebody else's experience. Some people, they go around just trying to get somebody to lay hands on them and fix them all the time. And God is saying, I want you to get on your knees before me and let me do that work in you. Amen. And then together, we can work as God has given us a sight and has given us opportunity to minister to one another. But we need to, first of all, know how to get a hold of God ourselves. You know, a baby is bottle fed. We understand that. When a person is new in the Lord, you know, they're going to need some mentors. They're going to need some older saints to come alongside, amen, and to help them to get on their feet. But there comes a time when, you know, you need to part the mustache, as we say, and pull the bottle out, right? And it's time to grow up, right, and start feeding yourself. And I think the most obvious one is this. Number one is, a healthy church must be Christ-centered. Not man-centered. The Lord has to be the object of our affection here. He has to be the center of it all. It has to be about Jesus. Amen. And it can't be about us. And I know today in our modern time, there are many that are just going to get a quick fix, maybe a patch up, you know, some self-improvement tips on Sunday morning. But really, what you need is Jesus. You need to really know Jesus, not just learn about Him and learn how to fix things in your life, but you need to have a relationship with Him. And when Christ is changing you, you're changed for good. Because you and I can, you know, make resolutions and make temporary changes because we're trying to. Or we can allow God to work within us to change and transform us into that new creation, to where God is doing the work, amen, and we're just going along for the ride. God doesn't want us to try to save ourselves, because it's impossible for you and I to live holy enough, to be good enough, to be righteous enough in and of ourselves. Our righteousness is from Him. Our goodness is from Him. Our holiness is from Him. Our redemption is from Him. Everything is centered in Jesus Christ. My life has got to be built upon Him, upon the foundation of His truth, His Word. He is the living Word. Amen. So if we are centered in Jesus, He is the reason why we're here. May people come from all kinds of reasons, sometimes to please mama, you know, or whatever. But to come because we want to honor the Lord and assembling together to, first of all, worship in Him and praise Him. Amen. but also to be an example to one another, to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to impart, amen, the gift of God into one another as God shows us. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, there's no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Everything needs to be built on Christ and His Word. Matthew 16:18 says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now I know that people have taken that and they've run with that and they've come up with some kind of weird doctrines that somehow Peter was the first pope. And that the church is built on Peter. That's not what he's saying. Because in the Greek word, you know that the word for Peter is Petros. Petros, which is little stone. And upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. What is the rock? The foundation of truth. On Jesus Christ, He will build His church. On what the Lord has said. It's by the truth that you are made free. Amen? It's by the truth that you are kept free. Hallelujah. So my church will be built upon the foundation of truth. Are you hearing that? Christ being the center or the chief cornerstone. You and I being little stones that are joined to Him. Amen. That make up His temple, an expression of God in the earth. Each one of us here in Christ are a little stone, a Petros. Amen. Petros that is connected to the Petra. The big stone, Jesus Christ. So that is a perversion of what He was saying there. What was Jesus asking? He said, well, who do men say that I am? And Peter was the one with the right answer. He said, well, you are the Christ, right? The Son of the living God. And blessed are you, Peter. Amen? He said, what, Simon Bar-Jonah? Because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven allowed you to know that. He knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And so Colossians 1:18 says Christ is also the head of the church. Colossians 1:18, which is His body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So He is first in what? First in everything. The Christian church as a whole belongs to our Lord, right? And we are His body and He's the head. In other words, He's the boss. Amen. He's the command and control center. You and I are connected to Him. We are under His authority, under His command. Amen? And a healthy church is one that is under God's authority. And His Word, amen, is our command. We bow to the Word of God. My mind, my emotions, my will have to submit to the Word of God. Not to my opinion, but to what God says. When I come under His authority, I come under His protective cover. I come under His favor. I come under His blessing. When I am submitted to my God, I'm in a safe place. As I abide in Him, He abides in me, then I'm able to bear the fruit of God. People will see Jesus in you and I as we continue in Him. So, again, a healthy church is not self-centered, but it's Christ-centered. And, you know, some churches are built around a man, a personality, you know, even at social causes, you know, in some cases, even their history or their tradition. People are, well, why do I go to this church? I hear people tell me, well, I go to this church because, well, my grandfather and my great grandfather, and we all go to this church. And so we're traditionally this or that. And it's like, well, what is God saying? What does God want for you? Not what does your tradition teach you. That was the problem with the Jews, amen? Because of their tradition and the traditions that they held, they were not embracing the very God, amen, who created them and placed them and given them life, amen? When He showed up, they didn't recognize who Jesus was. And they would nullify the Word of God to keep their traditions. So anyways, we're not of that, are we? We are kingdom people. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. We're just one small part of God's huge building. Amen. Did you know that God is in a building program? Yes. And you and I are the laborers. We're working together with Jesus. Amen. We should be reaching out to friends and loved ones and neighbors and people that we meet. Did you know that we are supposed to be expressing God's heart in this world? Salt and light. Amen. Not only are we involved in the labor, but we're looking for laborers too. That's why Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Well, if you're praying for, Lord, send those laborers, the Lord's probably going to get a hold of you in the process. Amen. Say, what about you? You'd be a great candidate for being a laborer. How many know it's not all about getting, it's about giving. It's not about self-serving, it's serving others. And as you do so, you do unto the Lord. So number two, a healthy church. Obviously, as we just said, it must be word-based or Bible-based. Okay, Acts 20, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, remember that Timothy was actually a pastor, okay, of some say the largest church in the early church, okay? And Paul was basically his father in the Lord. He was the one that led him to Jesus, amen, and had mentored Timothy. And he has given Timothy instructions. And so he was a son in the Lord, but he was also a pastor. And so he gave him some instructions here in 2 Timothy 4:1. He said this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Now, what did he say? Convince, rebuke, exhort. There's the balance of it all three. All right? With all long suffering and teaching. So not only do we encourage, but there's times when we need to bring instruction and righteousness, and we also need to bring correction, just like we would with our own children. Amen? If you love your kids, you instruct them in the way they should go, whether they like it or not. That's why Paul said, if I be a pleaser of men, I cannot be a servant of Christ. Amen? And guys, we got to watch out for that, all of us, that we're not going around trying to make everybody happy around us, but we're making Jesus smile. He's the one that we need to that we will answer to someday. So, unfortunately, it seems like too many are just presenting their own personal opinions to the people rather than the Word of God. Or they're telling them only what they want to hear. You know, it's always better received if we just serve dessert all the time, you know. You know, I like dessert, but too much dessert makes you sick. Amen. You want to have a good meal, right? A good balanced meal. Some people will like that. I just want to eat the candy. Well, kids want to eat candy all the time, right? But they need to learn how to eat those demonic peas. No. Yeah. But listen to what he said. He said in Psalms 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Too many, I think, underestimate, hear me, the importance of internalizing the Word of God. The importance of dwelling on, meditating on, internalizing God's Word. Getting that Word down in your heart. David said, thy Word have I hid in my heart. He didn't just blast through, amen, a 365-day reading program, even though that is a good thing. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're internalizing that Word, amen, that is getting from our head down into our spirit where it's going to bring change and transformation. And it's also going to be something that's there when we need it. It's kind of like this. We need to download, amen, onto the hard drive, the truth. Amen. And in the time that we need it, the Holy Spirit will bring that to the screen. And we'll know what we need to say, when and how to say it. And so it's very important, guys, that you don't underestimate the importance and the value of teaching yourself, feeding yourself, listening as often as you can to the Word of God being preached. Amen. I know some people think, oh, just a couple times a month I'll show up and listen to a message. No, guys, that's not going to cut it. How many know Israel had to gather daily? Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. The manna represents what? The Word of God. And so we also need to feed on the Word of God in order to be healthy. Amen. Spiritually. So it's not enough, guys, just to occasionally get a word here and a word there. You know, some people, they're just going everywhere looking for this and looking a little. They snack. They go over here and they snack a little bit there and they snack a little bit there. And you know, and I thank God for what Wayne is doing. And by the way, it's an opportunity. It's good advertising, by the way. Sunday mornings at 9:15, we're going through the Word of God. Been going through the book of Genesis. Now we're in Exodus. This morning we're talking about the tabernacle and the utensils and the furniture and all that, and the message behind that, the meaning, the presentation of Christ and all of that. It's just fascinating. And guys, if you really want to get into the Word and learn the Word, come to Sunday school. Amen. We're going through it. Don't think, oh, I got enough. I had a snack last week. Yeah, we can tell you look pretty emaciated. Spiritually, that is. We all need to eat, amen, to stay healthy. And we need to eat the right things. So don't just eat what you like, but eat what you don't not necessarily like too. You know, that's good for you. My dad is always trying to get us to eat liver. Oh, it's good for you. I eat some liver, boy. It's like, man, that can't be good for you, man. Now, how about this? A healthy church is a Holy Spirit-empowered church. Holy Spirit-empowered church. 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul said, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The original church that Jesus established was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they ministered in the power of God. Likewise, a healthy church is filled with the Holy Spirit and minister in the power of God. Not relying upon human wisdom or understanding. It's more than just theological concepts, amen? It's about presenting Christ, amen? Who is the living Word of God. Being a vessel, amen, that is impregnated with the Spirit and the Word of God so that we can be an expression of God. And people will receive the truth that will set them free. Jesus said, "These words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He didn't just speak any words. He spoke the words that he heard the Father speak. Amen. He operated by the Holy Spirit. Likewise, today, you and I, if we're going to be healthy believers as part of a healthy body, amen, we've got to be spirit empowered. We've got to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to know how to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not enough just to hear messages, guys. We need to get a hold of that message and turn that into an expression of God's heart. Amen. Is this making sense? So he says, your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, verse 5, but in the power of God. All right. Some people, they follow personalities. They follow, this is my favorite preacher, my favorite teacher. And there's nothing wrong with having, you know, teachers that are helpful in your development and your growth. Amen. But understand that that teacher is just a man or just a woman, right, that God is using. That we're simply vessels. All of us are just vessels for God. Christ has to be the center, not us. You know, we start making a mess of things when we start trying to put ourselves in the position of Christ. We can get into the spirit of Antichrist, which is not just against Christ, but putting yourself in place of him. Now, we are to be, in a sense, as we go in his name, Jesus to the world. Amen. But the Holy Spirit will always point people to who? To Jesus, right? He doesn't point to the vessel. But God allows us to partner with him and to do this. Isn't this good that we get to partner with God and to be a vessel that he'd work through? I don't know about you, but that is pretty cool. Amen. Yeah, and, you know, I've said this before, but I'm the least likely to be ever in a pulpit preaching to people and probably the least qualified. If you knew my history, and we're not going to go there. But if you knew my history, it's like, no way, no way. This they thought I was they had already written me off before I even got out of high school. I thought, man, this guy's just going to be, we're going to be scraping him off the sidewalk or whatever. Not according to God's plan. God says, I'll just use that one right there. I'll show you. Because I can take any vessel. I can even use a donkey if I have to, right? Okay. Now, no donkey. Now, God's power and spiritual gifts are available to us today. Isn't that awesome? And I believe, guys, if we're really a healthy church, then we'll have a healthy manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. And power. Power in the Word, yes. But also times when God is moving. Amen. And people are getting healed. And people are getting set free. Hallelujah. Amen. God moves upon somebody, gives them a word of knowledge. We could go on. But right now, I just want to focus on a few points this morning. Mark 16:19, this is after the Lord ascended into heaven, okay? So after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And what did the church do? It says they sat around and sang Kumbaya, verse 20. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. What? Through the accompanying signs. God will confirm his word. You know, you preach him as healer, God will show up. God will heal. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive dunamis, power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. That's the only way you can be an effective witness for Christ, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Relying upon his ability to do what he's called us to do. Being a vessel for God. Just being available and say, Lord, here am I. Fill me with your power, Lord, and open my eyes to the opportunities that you give me. Even today. You know, God doesn't want his church to be weak, to be anemic, to be sickly, powerless, depressed, bummed out. Come on, somebody. I'm on a roll here. God wants his church to be powerful. He wants his people to be his heart expressed. Amen? When people look at our lives, they should be seeing the evidence of a supernatural God. Amen? That we're more than just mere people. But we are supernatural individuals because we have the supernatural God in us, the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And so, again, what people don't need is they don't need us in the sense that we're presenting us to them. But we're presenting Christ to them. And the Holy Spirit will always point somebody, hey, let me pray for you. You know, I'll be a vessel for God to work through to touch you. But let me introduce you to the one who can help you. You know, because sometimes, let's face it, we can make demigods out of people, even out of preachers. You know, we can esteem them above where they rightly should be. You know, Jesus Christ is the center, isn't he? He's the foundation. He's the head of the church. And you and I are vessels, servants of the Lord. And we get to do this, praise God. But God, he doesn't want this powerless people that have no expectation of anything supernatural happening. So any church that omits, hear me, the manifestation of the spiritual gifts is not a church after the New Testament pattern. Any church that omits the manifestation of the spiritual gifts is not a church after the New Testament pattern. When we look at the early church, when we read the book of Acts, we see how the church should be in action. Are you hearing me, somebody? Our gospel is not in word only, but in power, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that people's faith is not going to be just simply in the vessel. Amen? And maybe how well you could speak, and they may be impressed by your oratorical skills. But they're going to be impressed by the fact that God is definitely got to be in you, because you couldn't do that without him. So God gets us to understand that people need the Lord, and they need to see the demonstration. Come on, the prophets of Baal need to know who God is. Are you hearing me, somebody? The Satanists and the witches and all the people that are being deceived by the evil one, they need to know who the true God is. Amen. The God who really cares, the God who really loves them. And by the way, God does love the underdog, by the way. Because that's the line they're always telling them. Oh, Satan was an underdog and so he understands you. No, Satan is a liar and a thief. Amen. But our God loves us. He loves the lowly. He reaches down and he scrapes us up. Amen. And he brings us into his arms, and he heals and restores and forgives and restores hope in us and gives us a new life, a new beginning, eternal life, and a future that is hopeful. And so we need these manifestations. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. But let all things be done for edification, building up. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another what? The interpretation of tongues. And number four, a healthy church is holy, it's pure, amen? How many know that God is looking for a bride, amen, for His Son? He's not looking for someone who has given themselves over into the world, amen, to prostitute themselves with the things of this world, but someone who is keeping themselves holy and pure for Him, for the day when we'll be reunited with Him. That's why we lift up the cup in communion, amen? And we make our vows anew and say, Lord, I'm committing myself once again. I'm pledging my faith to You anew. Amen. That everything I have is Yours, everything You have is mine. And I'm going to keep myself as I'm looking forward to the day, because I know You've gone away for a season. You've gone away back to the Father's house to prepare a place for me. But I know the day is going to come when You're going to return. Amen. And who's He coming for? He's coming for those who are looking for Him. Who are looking for Him? The bride is looking for Him. The bride that has kept herself and is anticipating the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready to meet Jesus today? Amen. It's a pure, it's unmixed, the holy church that God wants. God wants us to be holy, guys. It says in Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which, what? No one will see the Lord. 1 Peter 1:13 says, so think clearly, exercise self-control, look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy, morally blameless in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. A healthy church. Now let me hear this. I hope I'm going to get an amen on this. But is a praying church. We need to pray together. Individual prayer, amen, absolutely. Corporate prayer, amen, absolutely. Prayer meetings on Friday night. Praying church. Think about it. Imagine trying to have a good marriage without communication. In order for you and I to maintain a good relationship with the Lord, there has to be communication. God wants to speak to you. Did you know that? God's speaking to you this morning. But God wants you to spend time with Him listening for His voice. God wants to hear from you, but God wants to speak to you. And you're not going to be in a good relationship with anyone that you're not giving any time to. Is that true? Any marriage, as we know, that's good is a marriage that's based upon good communication. Amen. They know how to talk to each other And sometimes there's some rough spots in that, but they learn how to work through things as they communicate. A lot of times the problems we have are based upon misunderstandings. A lot of times you and I, we've both done that. We've misjudged people. We've misunderstood people, right? We've thought this about them and find out later that's not really, really true. But God is perfect and God is holy and God is blameless and everything He says is always true, right? So we need to hear from Him who's true, and He would never tell us a lie. A praying church is a healthy church. How about this? We are a worshiping church, a healthy church. Acts 13, 1-2, now the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. What were they doing? Worshiping the Lord and fasting. They were a worshiping church. And while they were worshiping, what happened? The Holy Spirit spoke, and He called Barnabas and Saul to be apostles. How about this? In Israel's temple, the tabernacle in the wilderness, we just talked about that this morning. The final article of furniture in the holy place was the golden incense altar. What did that speak of? That spoke of prayer, intercession, praise and worship. And just guess what? That golden altar of incense was just outside the veil, amen, which is like about 6 inches thick, that only the high priest once a year, only with blood, could go behind, amen, to where God's Shekinah glory dwelt between the cherubim, amen, on the mercy seat. So before they could enter in there, they would offer up incense, which is representative of what? Prayer, intercession. Hallelujah. And that was what? The password of thank you today. As we come before His presence with singing, we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And we come into the Holy of Holies by way of the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus was broken on the cross on our behalf, what happened? The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. The way into the holiest has now been entered in. Why? Because Jesus Christ was our high priest who went before us once and for all. Amen. To open that way so you and I can come with confidence, with boldness into the throne of grace and to make our petitions known before our Father. And we can come, amen, without fear in the sense that God can cover us, amen, in that precious blood. Amen. So that we can be qualified for His presence. We should be taking advantage of the opportunity that God gives us to pray. Hallelujah. We have a saying over the ladies' bathroom that says prayer changes things. Well, I happen to believe that. And if you really believe that, you will pray more. And a person that doesn't pray is a person that's in unbelief. I hate to say that, but it's true. An unbelieving person doesn't pray because they don't think it's going to make any difference. But a person who really trusts God and believes in God, believes that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, they will pray because they know God answers prayer. And just like you said, Deb, earlier, God will also answer those prayers sometimes when we just keep on bothering them about it and keep on bothering them. Keep on knocking until the door is opened. Don't give up. Sometimes we give up on the brink of a miracle. Just before God's getting ready to do something, I guess nothing's going to happen. Well, God is not pleased when we're unbelieving. He wants us to have faith. And a person that has faith will persevere. A person that has faith will overcome. Yeah. So a praying church and a worshiping church is so important. Now, how about this? Ready for another one? A healthy church is a witnessing church. How many here are witnessing to people outside of these walls? Well, how about this? Why don't we pray? And why don't you ask God for Him to give you His burden, a personal burden for the lost? Pray until you get that heart of Jesus in you that says, I'm not willing that anyone should perish. And I don't want to see anybody perish and go to hell. And God has given me this responsibility to be, amen, His witness. By the way I live, first and foremost, living a clean life, that's a witness in itself, isn't it? That you're not bowing down to the same things the world bows down to. That you have a higher standard. Your standard is the Word of God. Amen. Your commander is the Lord. You take your orders from Him. Amen. I don't care what's politically correct. If it's biblically incorrect, it's not for me. But we've got to be salt and light. Do you know America will turn around if the church will turn around? We divorce ourselves from worldliness. Get out of bed with the devil, amen. Get out of that bed of adultery, amen. And get right with God and get on fire for Jesus, hallelujah. Pray that God will give you His heart, His burden, amen. And what will happen is you'll have like a fire burning in you that you just can't help but tell people about Jesus. And I pray, Lord, do that work in me again. Are you here today? Can you say amen? I need more Jesus. I need more Holy Spirit in me. I need His strength. I can't do what I'm called to do without God. Hallelujah. And guys, I tell you what works for me is I put myself out there. I get outside of the boat on purpose. Not because it's comfortable, but because I know that's where Jesus is going to be. Amen. If I'm willing to take, if we call it a risk, it's not really a risk. It's a blessing. But there's times when God will call you and tell you, I want you to do this. I want you to go to this person, say this, or ask that person for prayer. You saw somebody in the store, they had a limp or they had a problem. Maybe they winced in pain. You can say, oh, there's an opportunity. Lord, should I go over and pray for that person? Come on, somebody. How many here have seen some miracles in the store? Because you were willing to obey God and say, you know what? God wants me to pray for witness to that person. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive dunamis, dynamic power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You and I are called to maintain the flame, to maintain the supply of oil, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will want to tell people about Jesus. You will want to heal the sick. You will want to raise the dead. Amen? You'll have that desire in you because God puts that desire in you. Because it's not of you. Let's face it, naturally, you and I don't want anything to do with God or His will. But it's His Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, that works both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So if you are staying close to the flame, amen, and you are staying filled with the Spirit of God, hallelujah, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, worshiping the Lord, then all of a sudden you'll start to feel what God feels. You'll begin to see what God sees. You'll begin to desire what God desires. And you'll start to hate what God hates. You can no longer be comfortable in those things that you used to do. Amen? Because of the fear of the Lord. The closer you get to the flame, the closer you get to the Lord, the more reverence you have for Him. The more serious you are about God. And you know that God means business. When God gives a command, amen, it's not a suggestion. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Put yourself out there. Take the step. Okay. Lord, I'm leaning on You. Amen. When you do your class, you're saying, Lord, I need You. Give me what I need to say. And He comes through, doesn't He? Because we're putting ourselves in a place where we can be a vessel for Him. So it's not going to be based upon, well, I just don't know enough scripture yet. Or, forget that. Say, Holy Spirit, give me what I need to say. He'll bring it to your remembrance. Amen. And if you didn't even know it, He'll give it to you right then. Man, God has given me revelation just preaching the word. All of a sudden, something dropped in. I say, man, that was pretty good. I want to get the tape, right? You know, because the Holy Spirit works with us in partnership. And He empowers us so that we can be effective witnesses. Guys, pray for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Pray for the fire of God to fall in your life. Amen. To empower you. Turn you into another person. Amen. A supernatural person. And as you do that, you will discover the burden of the Lord. You'll have the heart of Jesus and you'll want to do the things that please Him. We need to step out, don't we? But we need God's power for that. Now, one more. A healthy church is a relational church. Guys, it's got to be more than just doing some traditional thing or punching in the clock, as we say, the punching the clock at the door. Relational. We're designed for relationships. And we're family. Any family that's healthy has relationships. Build relationships. Look for people to connect with that will help you in your walk. Amen? Just don't hang around with your peers. Get with somebody that's been in the Lord for a while and hang out with them. Let them stretch you. Let them help you grow up. I used to make it a point when I was a young man starting out. I got saved when I was 27. And I remember when, really saved. I had some church in the background, but I wasn't really born again until that time. But I would look for people that I knew were red hot for Jesus, people that had wisdom and experience. And I'd ask them all the questions, man. I was like the two-year-old. What does this mean? What does that mean? What does it mean? You know. And that's okay because you should be hungry and you should be asking. And that should be welcomed because we want hunger. Because God will fill the hungry. And those who thirst for Him. Amen. Okay. Ephesians 4:16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, Jesus does. Amen? Again, if He's the center, we'll be together. As each part does its own special work. Guys, I'm asking you to do your part, okay? It helps the other parts grow. so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Organization is good, but it should never take the place of our personal relationships. And you know, even the early church, it had basic organization, but they had strong relationships with one another. And they did a great work together for the Lord Jesus Christ because they were a family, the family of God. See, guys, we want you to come into the family, all right, to make the connection, to build the relationships. We pray Friday night, every Friday, we pray for folks to be assimilated in. I mean, just to get from bitch being an attender to being a part of the family. Amen. Where you can come out in the evenings, on Sunday evenings, we have open time. We talk, we share, we testify. Amen. On Wednesday nights, you really get to know one another. Amen. When you have some time hanging out together. But if we're just coming once in a while, I'm not trying to spank anybody here. I'm just saying that we miss you when you're not here. We need you when you're not here. I'm serious. Some of you have trouble driving at night. That's a different story. But for those in your 20s and 30s, don't use that excuse of me. So, what we're saying, the more that we are together, the closer we become. If any of you have been married for any amount of time and you've had a healthy relationship with your husband or your wife, you know that you become closer through the years. Those of you who have children, the more that you've invested in that child, the closer you become to that child. That's why a child of more years would be harder to lose than one that was younger, even though it's a heartbreak. But that child of many years, for example, would be someone that you had poured yourself into. Amen? Through the years. And so there's an attachment. There's a closeness there. And so it is. As a church, I like to see us become even more bonded, if you will, and closer together. And that comes through fellowshipping. Making the sacrifices. Yeah, it's cold, it's rainy, I'm feeling a little tired, but I guarantee you, if you would make the sacrifice and start coming, that you'll be glad that you came. I don't know how many times when I was sitting on the other side of things and listening to the preacher, that I had thoughts of, yeah, you know what, they won't miss me today. I'm a little tired. I'll just sleep in. Whatever. You know? And then the other times when I'm hearing the Lord say, but I want you to go to church. And whenever I say yes to God, I'm always glad I did, because the Lord always had something for me special. And not only that, God would use you as a blessing to somebody else. Don't underestimate giftings and your ability to be a blessing to somebody else. When I see you here on Sunday mornings, I rejoice. I'm glad. I watch and see who's coming through the doors. Oh, there's so-and-so. They're here today. Praise God. So good to see you. Yeah, even though you may not feel that way, I see you. And I see you in my prayers, and I pray for you every day. Yeah, because I want God's best for you. I want you to grow strong and healthy. But guys, God has placed us in a family. God has placed us in a body. And we should be gathering more often than we are. Okay? So, all right. I'm telling you this because I care. And it's something that the Lord wants us to consider and to obey. Amen? Because it's His will for us to come together. That's why it says in Hebrews 10, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. All right? But the more, as we see, it's right in your bulletins, by the way, as we see the day of the Lord approaching. Now, here's one more. And this is where I had people get really mad at me for saying this. And first of all, let me just say, qualify it by this. You're not a leader because you tell people you're a leader. I'm the boss here. If you have to tell people you're the boss, you're probably not. Or you're in a position, don't know what your position is, all right? And don't know what your authority is. But I understood this and I was taught this, even though I was a rebellious young Christian for a while. Yes. Yeah. And just like when you're a teenager growing up, you know your parents don't know much. Right? And the older we get, the smarter they become. But anyways, God wants us to be under authority. God wants us to be loyal to the leadership that He's placed in our lives in the church. Apostolic authority, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, amen, are the fivefold ministries that God has established as foundations, as, in a sense, the authorities, amen, that are going to be answerable to God in that day for what they did with His people. So, serious business. I want to see every one of you healthy, walking close to Jesus, amen, and prepared for the day that is coming for all of us. And I ask you to consider what I'm saying today. Make time this year. Say, you know what? I'm going to commit myself to start coming more often. I'm going to make that sacrifice because I found out that God is in the sacrifice. I've discovered that when I deny myself to do what God wants me to do, I'm always rewarded for it. It's quiet in here. When I do contrary to what my flesh wants to do and I obey the Spirit, I'm always blessed because I did. And so when I come to church, even as a young man, God said, I want you in church. The doors are open, be there. Praise God, we have faithful ones, amen? And we want everybody to come up and to draw in, amen, and come together. Now, listen, this is between you and the Lord, okay? I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. If the Holy Spirit deals with your heart about something today, listen to Him. All right. Loyalty. David's mighty men. This is what they said, and I'm going to finish with this today. 1 Chronicles 12:18. When the Spirit came upon Amasai, the leader of the 30, he said, "We are yours, David. We are on your side, son of Jesse. Peace and prosperity be with you. And success to all who help you." Hear that. Success to all who help you. Why? For your God is the one who helps you. When you help God's ministers, you're receiving a blessing from God, amen, in that. So when they succeed, you succeed. When you do well, I do well. When your brother and your sister does well, you do well. When you minister to one another, amen, and you give of your life and of yourself to others who are God's people because God is with them, as they succeed, you succeed. Understand that. God has placed authority in the body. Amen? And so we need to learn from the principles of God's word, even as David had faithful men that were committed to him. They, no matter what, they said, "We're going to be with you, David, because we know God is with you." And as they served him, another one was Elijah, remember, and Elisha. Elisha was faithful to serve the vision of Elijah until such time when Elijah would be taken up into heaven and Elisha would receive what? The double portion, because he had served another man's vision. You understand? There's a blessing in serving another man's vision. Because it's God-given, not from him. So I'm very thankful, you know, for you who have been loyal even to me as a leader. And to the elders of this church as well. And to the mission that God has given us here at New Horizons. The loyal men said, "David, we're yours. Success to you." Guys, I want you to be successful. Even Paul said when it came to giving, he says, not that I need the gift or I want the gift, but he says, but you'll be blessed as you give. He wanted the church to succeed. Do you understand that? How that works? So when you obey those who the Lord has put in charge of you, you will receive the commendation of the Lord and the favor of God. And the time will come because you've been faithful in serving another man's vision that God will say, now you can have your own. Hear it. This time came when Elisha would take up the mantle of Elijah. And because he was a faithful servant of the servant of the Lord, the day came when he had his own ministry, and he had what? Twice the miracles that Elijah had. You know, God taught me how to teach me this, because as a rebellious young Christian, I'm not saying you're rebellious, but I was. And I didn't always listen to my spiritual authorities and my leaders and my pastors and people that were trying to speak some sense into me. And so the Lord had to spank me a few times and teach me a few lessons. And finally I realized, you know what, I need to be submitted to the authority that God has placed in my life. And if I do so, I'm actually submitting myself to God who put them in place and has ordained them. Even Romans 13 says, even when it comes to civil authority, we're to submit to the governing authorities because the Lord has placed them there as servants of him, except when it contradicts the word of God. You never do that. Now, one more verse. I'm going to finish with this. Luke 16:12. This is what Jesus said. If you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Hear that. When you go to work your job, you should be working as unto the Lord. Amen? Whatever authority is in your life, if you're still living under your mom and your dad's roof, amen, then understand that you submit to your parents as you're submitting unto the Lord. And if you do so, there is a blessing even of long life. Amen? For that. For a young person that will submit to their parents and obey their parents. Come under their authority. There's protection when you're under God's authority. And I remember talking with a minister friend. I'm going to finish. I said that already. Real quick. And you know, he says, when I look out over my congregation, he says, I asked the question, how many are really with me? You know? And I think we all ask the same thing. Anybody that's in ministry, even if you're doing a class, a discipleship class, whatever it is, you know, God's given people to you, and you don't want to lose any of them. You know, and it's not about you owning anybody, you know that. But it's you wanting the people to be there so that you can minister what God has given you to them to help build them up in their faith. And you carry a tremendous responsibility. But you also know the value of loyalty, the value of those who will stand in there. Even if the church goes through a lull, goes through a rough period, there's a lot of people that will bail ship as soon as things get a little heated. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I'm looking around, and I see some of you have been here from the beginning. You've been through thick and thin. You've been through all the stuff that we've gone through over the years here. And even some of you that transitioned from the last place we were at, you're still here today. Why? Because you have demonstrated true loyalty. And God will honor you for that. God will honor those who honor him. And you honor him by honoring those that God has placed in your life as an authority. Whether it be parents, whether it be the police, amen? Whether it be your boss at work, whether it be your pastors. Hear me. This is God's way. If you want God's favor, you're going to have to obey his voice. Listen to what he's saying. Don't be wise in your own understanding. Don't try to make an excuse and say, well, I really agree with that. I have people that get mad. Anytime I talk about authority, you can tell who the rebellious ones are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I talked about was submitting to authority. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm just the paper boy here. You're rebelling against what God said, not what I said. What I say doesn't matter. If I'm saying what God is saying, then you need to listen. And I'm saying what God is saying. God wants us together. He wants us united. Amen? He wants us submitting one to another. Yeah, he wants us in relationship with each other. He wants us committed to coming. He wants us praying. He wants us worshiping. He wants us witnessing all these good things. The success of this local assembly is dependent on all of us. Did you hear me today? All of us committing ourselves, amen, to the mission that God has given us. Would you agree with me today that this is a good place to invite people? Yeah. So let's invite people. Let's go out of our way. Make sure, first of all, you get yourself here. Amen. You can't bring anybody to church if you can't get to church. But first, start with disciplining yourself and say, I'm going to commit myself to come, to gather with God's people. And I'm going to look for others to invite with. Because we're trying to serve, amen, what God is serving here. I'm not trying to give you me. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I want to exalt Jesus, amen. I want to see Jesus made famous. And I want you to know Jesus. I want you to be ready for that day. And I want every one of us here to hear that commendation that comes from the Lord only. Amen. Well done, my good and faithful servant. We need you. We need your commitment. We need you to come to church, guys. We have evening services, Sunday nights. Wednesdays are great in between during the week to come out and get a refresher. We've been having tremendous times. There's only been a few of us. We've been having great times, you know, together. And we want you to be part of that. We pray for each other, you know. We lay hands on each other. Come on out. Connect. Get to know your brothers and your sisters. Get to know one another. Amen? Thursday nights, discipleship at 7 o'clock too. We try to provide opportunities for us to come. Koinonia, right? To have that fellowship in the Spirit where God is working. Let me just finish with this. God comes through powerfully in a person, amen, who's been connected and stays connected to the body. Amen. People that are committed to coming to church regularly always do better. I know some of you are probably saying, not necessarily, but I can tell, I can see that to be true. I can tell you that because it's true in my own life. And God had to get a hold of me. When I was just an occasional, I was a snacker. Time, guys, that we would commit our lives, give our lives back to Jesus Christ and His mission, what He wants to accomplish this coming year. We need workers. We need laborers. We need people to commit. Amen? Get built up. Learn. Amen? And practice the faith. Come on out as often as you can. All right? We love you. That's why I tell you the truth. People that love you tell you the truth. Amen.